knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
What's up?
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, comes in the form of a cereal. I decided that, so I was making some choices on cereal, right?
Uh-huh,
sitting there looking at these boxes.
Yeah.
And I see one that is a Dunkin' Donuts flavor.
No.
Mocha.
No.
Mocha
refuse.
Coffee.
Refuse.
Cereal.
Pass. Hard pass.
I stared at it.
I'd throw a spear at that box.
I stared at it for a while because it was like, well, I'm drawn in. But there's another
yes,
voice that was telling me, is this the novelty that's going to get you burned?
Right.
Is
right,
this
right.
too novel?
Right.
Because honestly, there was also one that was a caramel macchiato. And I said, that looks gross. That is definitely going to burn me.
I do appreciate finding where your limits are.
It was right between
yes,
those two.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, that we found that like yep. certain perfect gray zone.
Caramel macchiato
too novel.
Is too far. That's the Mendoza line,
yes, exactly.
as they say.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Shout out to Marty. I got it. It's great. It's
yeah.
really good.
It's great. Oh, of course it is.
It's
of course
shockingly
it is.
Good.
What does it taste like? A donut?
No, it tastes like coffee.
It tastes like coffee.
It tastes
coffee.
Like a mocha coffee.
Oh, I thought they were going to taste like a donut type thing.
No, it's got like, it basically the texture of it is there's like little marshmallows and then the cereal itself is basically just like Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, okay.
It's just, it's I don't know. I mean,
that
it's not
good.
Good.
Huh.
It's not good for you.
Right.
It's not great. It's just, I expected it to be a real dangerous proposition.
Sure.
And it turned out to be great. I enjoy it. I recommend it.
I imagine Dunkin' Donuts probably won't release a cereal based on my coffee flavor, which is black.
Just a burnt,
just burnt
flavored.
Yeah, burnt, black, a whole pot of it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a Post is going to come out with a Folgers. No cream. I don't foresee that happening.
Are you sick of drinking coffee? Chew it!
This introduces an actual interesting problem.
What's that?
And that is that if you have a black coffee flavored cereal, do you have milk
what
with
do
it?
I drink with it? Yes. Yeah.
Do you put milk in? Or
I
is
do
that
not.
Ruined?
You can't. It ruins
it. So
it ruins
do you pour
the cereal.
Coffee in there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What else would you drink?
Silly.
Double brewed.
Silly.
Yes.
That's a red eye.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's cereal.
That's right.
Yeah. So what about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is the new album by Madlib, Sound Ancestors. Very, very good.
Okay.
Very, very good. It's all music that was made by Madlib over the span of like the past 2 years. You know Madlib,
yeah.
right? You know how all he does is just sit around and make music all the time?
I got that sense. Yeah, I mean, I don't know him personally, but yeah,
it seems
like he likes music.
He's one of my heroes just because he's like one of those guys who's just like, I know what I do, and I make music, and everything else can go fuck off.
Yeah, that's basically like me and looking at Alex Jones.
And you see now why I'm drawn to you and people of your ilk.
Weird, committed people.
Yes. Absolutely, because yep. I'm a little lazy.
Yeah. you're fine.
Anyways, it was arranged by Fortet, and it's really, 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 really good. I
awesome.
Love it so much. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have to give that a spin. I've been getting back on the bike a little bit, and I've been needing some more music to throw into the rotation.
Toss it
I've
in
I've been
there.
Listening to a lot of Polish Ambassador.
Okay, well.
I enjoy the Polish Ambassador.
It will be a departure of style. I
maybe,
will say that.
Maybe less than you think.
I don't know. We'll see.
Have you ever heard of the Polish Ambassador?
I have heard of him. I haven't listened to that in a while.
I enjoy, there's an album called, I don't even remember the
name. How old is that again?
Huh?
What album are you talking about?
Let me actually pull it up here because I forget names of things really easily. You know, it's like within the last like 5 years or so, some of these albums.
Yeah,
the one I was listening to is him and Ayla Nereo. She's a singer, like a vocalist. Mm-hmm. They have a group called Wild Light.
Mm.
And they have an album called The Tide that I was listening to that's really... It's good for, you know, a little bit of riding the bike cardio stuff,
yeah.
But I'll check out that Mad Lib album, too.
I'll check it out.
Because otherwise, I'm just going to end up drifting back to, like, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with mixing in a little bit of that, but
If you start riding your bike and listening to ska, I'm never going to hear the end of it. It's going to be trouble.
I generally, if I have that feeling, I only listen to the Sami Zayn intro music, because that's great. and then also Christian ska, like Five Iron Frenzy or the OC Supertones.
Yeah.
Like, because those have like a sentimental thing to them, too. I will rarely ever listen to other ska stuff on the bike.
If you listen to Christian ska backwards, is that like running away from God, or how does that work?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
Okay, fair.
So, Jordan, today we have an interesting episode to go over. We're going to be talking about February 4th, 2021, Blackjack. So close.
I was ready for it, too. I was ready for it. I'm so lazy.
got some interesting stuff happening on this episode. Requires our attention.
Mm-hmm.
This is Thursday's episode, so... You know, it's right hot off the presses.
Yes, indeed.
And I had an interesting ride to get here, and we'll talk about that as we start the episode. But first, let's give a little bit of a shout-out to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, Villain Jack, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Villain Jack.
Thank you. Next, Long-Winded, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Long-Winded.
I feel a spiritual connection with anybody whose alias is named Long-Winded, since I've been accused of being someone who uses about 15 times the words they need.
No, you're an orator, sir. You're not
that's
Long-Winded.
That's a polite way of saying it. Next, I guess Murder Hornets were just a filler episode. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
That's
a good
point.
Thank you very much, yeah.
Next, I'm Camry, and I submit to the globalists. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Camry.
Thank you. Next, Shmoo is Q. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
We've solved the
we figured
mystery.
It out. It's Shmoo.
And then finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people who donated on Elevated Level. We appreciate that very much. So first, is a sandwich, all one word. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat. And take my money, you filthy animals. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right?
Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare info war on you.
Thank you all so much.
Yes, thank you very
much. I like
that
Is a Sandwich name, too,
sandwich?
Because I've gotten into some aggressive arguments in my time about whether things are or are not sandwiches.
Yeah, I've heard of people doing that, and it disconcerts me that people would have strong feelings about sandwiches.
Well, it really introduces a philosophical question about what does constitute a sandwich.
Right.
Hot dog is a classic thing that will cause people to come to loggerheads.
Sure,
it is a divisive topic.
Uh-huh.
But once you start talking about that, you enter the world of taco. Is a taco a sandwich?
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh,
see,
no.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
Once you start getting into that, it's dangerous. It's a slippery slope.
I only trust the word of the Earl himself, and he has not spoken regarding hot dogs, so I say that it's fine or it's not fine. It does not matter until he speaks.
All right. Well, we will go with that.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today, this episode, like I said, we're doing February 4th, and my path to this was a challenge because I was trying to get myself really motivated to, you know, talk about Alex on Monday, you know, from Monday.
We're gonna cover
the week. And then he started talking like this, and I just can't handle it.
And it's global government, and China's open for business. It's designed to transfer all of the resources and jobs overseas. And the public's got to go into a conscious mode. Everybody gets really unconscious, just kind of accepts what's coming at them. Like, I'm not mad at the crew. I love them to death. But I said, if my collar's ever sticking up, you got to tell me on air. Open your eyes. Look for problems. If I got a booger hanging out of my nose, tell me. But they won't do it. They're good people. They're just in a trance.
My collar was sticking straight up. See, and I'm not mad at them. It's a teaching moment. The globalists are coming with deadly vaccines that don't work, permanent lockdowns, and everybody's just kind of taking it. They're just kind of taking it. Can't take it anymore. You got to get to conscious mode. See, when you're not conscious, you're basically dying.
And your collar's up. Yeah, I was listening to that. Like, this is so dumb.
Okay.
He's basically having an HR meeting where he's scolding the crew for not telling him that his collar was up, but in the guise of talking about how when you're unconscious, the globalists can pull stuff
off. It does seem like he's turning what is a very petty, you guys should know I am incapable of basic hygiene.
Yeah.
And take care of me.
Tell
into
them.
Into a global problem.
Talk to your staff during the breaks. Huh. Make your points on air. I just was listening to that. I'm like, this is so stupid. I can't.
Wild.
Yeah, it felt like walking through knee-deep mud listening to this shit.
I don't need it.
And so I decided, you know, like maybe I'll go and try to find some Project Camelot
indeed
stuff to take a break with. No good. Not great. So we decided we're going to do a time travel episode.
That was
go
the
back
plan?
To the past.
At our now daily morning meetings.
I listened to an episode from 2011,
uh-huh.
And I found Alex trying to get really excited about Bilderberg, and it made sense.
Okay.
Everything checked out.
Okay.
He was he was really excited about this Swiss Holocaust denier that he didn't realize was a Holocaust denier.
Sure.
It was a lot of fun. We were going to have fun with that, but then the bat signal went up.
Oh, I
Jordan,
know.
The bat
I know.
Signal.
I heard.
It's Thursday, February 4th, the year is 2021. And Dr. Steve Pachinik is going to face the music. We really appreciate him. He has a lot of courage. Coming up in hour number two. Stay with us.
That is catnip?
Yeah, there's nothing we can do.
Nope. There are certain times in doing this show where you just got to resign yourself to like, well,
here's
we
what happens.
Here,
yeah.
Yep. Steve's back on after saying Trump will still be president after January 20th, or I'll eat my hat, essentially.
Yep.
If he's not president, then I'll never come on your show again.
Right.
But if I am, you got to hire me.
Right.
You know.
So no one is happy.
I was interested.
Yes. I too am. I'm interested to see what kind of big swing is going on here.
Steve is a lunatic, and
yeah.
I don't know, man. You just never know what to expect. And
I'm hoping for a double down. I'm hoping for him to come right out and say it.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is still president.
Huh. Well, that would be a swing. I'm going to say, completely unrelated to what
sure.
you want.
Sure.
No, don't take this as a sign whether that is or is not going to happen.
Okay.
I'll say that I was a little underwhelmed by this interview on both of their parts.
Aww.
I was a little underwhelmed by Alex and by Steve, although there is some hilarious stuff that happens. But the two of them should have been screaming at each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, absolutely. This should have been a knockdown,
yes.
drag-out fucking, you have been lying to me since the beginning, and then Stevie B's being like, of course I've been lying to you. You're a moron.
It's nuts that Steve agreed to do it.
Oh, of course he did. He doesn't give a fuck. He does not give one fuck.
It's nuts that Alex clearly doesn't have more of a plan.
That is obvious.
It's just
expected and still insane.
It's
yes.
just outrageous.
Yeah.
So, Alex, that's in the second hour.
Right.
He's got to get to some other news in the first hour.
Sure.
Well, see, these are liars. In a moment, I'm going to show you AOC caught in the lie we talked about a few days ago. I said, wait a minute. Look up where her office is. She's a junior member of the House. And I've actually been there while she was a congresswoman and saw her scurrying around the halls about a year and a half ago. She wasn't even in the damn Capitol. I mean, I know we talked about it a few days ago, but now it's even on Fox News. This woman is a congenital liar. We're going to get to that here in a moment. But first, my dad launched a new company about a year and a half ago and developed his own amazing toothpaste.
Ooh.
Wild.
Good stuff. Good
All
ad.
Right. Hey.
She didn't claim to have been in the Capitol building. That her building itself was also evacuated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I understand that the right wing really desperately needs to try and minimize the human trauma that was experienced by the people who were the victims of the consequences of their rhetoric.
Sure, we tried to get you guys murdered, but you're lying about it.
Yeah, I understand why people like Candace Owens and Jack Posobiec are really pushing these things hard, and Alex
right.
is now jumping on this as well. Like, I get it. It's just dumb. It's awful to see.
Yeah.
Like it's denying her experience is just.
Yeah. No. It's it's one of the more fucked up things I can think of. From an empathetic position, if I put myself in their shoes, I imagine I too would scramble because I would not want to reckon with the idea that I am essentially an attempted murder.
Well, you gotta,
you know, but I don't think that they have. I don't know. I think they're just basically psychopaths, and they're like, well, this is what we got to do to protect the grift. Not
the
like,
alternative.
I don't care. They don't care if she was murdered.
I think part of it is protecting the grift, but then also I think a part of it is what, you know, it's something that is so essential to a lot of these narratives is the inability or the desire not to feel bad about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would penetrate that bubble pretty hard.
Yeah.
Recognizing that these are human consequences of these conspiracy theories and this bullshit that gets peddled. And to recognize that would probably introduce some bad feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not in their interest.
No, that would hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like that.
So Alex does that AOC shit, and then he flips into an ad, and, like, he does an entire segment that's just ads. The entire second segment of the show is ads.
Sure.
And it's just unbelievable.
Buy my dad's toothpaste so I can hide more money in his company.
It's a drag. It almost feels like Alex thinks that announcing that Steve's going to be on the show is going to somehow boost ratings, and then he does a extended commercial
to
try and get the message out to as many people as he can.
Could be.
Then he gets back to teasing the Steve interview.
And Dr. Steve Pachinik, we have the clip, we'll play it here in a few minutes, has the courage to come back on the show. After coming on for 19 years and saying about 95% of what he's predicted has come true, what he predicted here a month ago before January 20th did not come true. And he's going to give us his take on it. I can't wait to talk to him.
Can't wait.
Man.
But see, here's the thing that I take issue with a comment like that. What Alex is doing is he's framing Steve's comments as predictions.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be predictions.
No, he
They're
said
not
he proved
predictions.
Them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Steve's been saying he's involved in things.
He's been saying he did it.
Yeah.
He's not predicting something will happen.
No.
He's doing it.
Yeah. It would be a completely different show, and people wouldn't take it as seriously if you were just like, hey, I don't know anything. Here's what I think is going to happen.
No. Absolutely.
Steve pretends that he's got, like, teams of intelligence agents in the field.
Yeah. What's the point of having a guy who's an expert with all of his connections if you're just going to ask him for random-ass predictions?
Yeah. When he says, I'm involved in this shit, then, you know, your brain is like, oh, he must be talking about something. If he just says, I predict this is going to happen, you can start to recognize, oh, his predictions have a terrible batting average.
He's not doing well.
I guess I won't take those predictions that seriously anymore.
Might be a bad idea.
Yeah, it's experienced completely different to a listener when you present it as like, I did this. I put QR codes on all the ballots.
So insane.
Blockchain.
You know what? What I don't understand about Alex is that I feel like he's missing that golden opportunity of like when you can cut ties with one of these assholes, it's like getting rid of. It's like when you're playing Go Fish or Old Maid or whatever it is, where you can like, oh, as I'm discarding this card, I am not losing a card. I am giving the bad thing away, you know? Like, when you cut ties with the Stevie P's, you can throw so many loaded narratives on him. Like, just toss all the shit that you don't want anymore out.
Steve did Sandy Hook.
Exactly! Be like, no, that was all Steve's idea. Like, go all in.
Yep.
Land it all on him. Don't half-ass it.
And you wouldn't be lying, for the most part. Steve did influence these negative things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I think that Steve, because of Alex, has built up his own organic fan base. Mm-hmm. And now that is a threat to Alex. But if he turns on Steve too hard, Steve's audience will turn on Alex.
What a goddamn moron.
Yep. They basically are just like pointing guns at each other.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there like, all right, we're at an impasse.
Yes,
what do we
sir,
do?
Sir.
Yeah. And that seems to be a theme of Alex. Like, he just builds up these no-win situations with these lunatics. And then here we are.
Is there a man who is more dedicated to hoisting himself upon his own petards?
It seems to work. I mean, it's profitable.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, I forgot about this. I forgot. We need to give a shout out to someone whose birthday it
Ooh.
Is. Alexis sent an email and told us that Sean celebrating a birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Sean.
And so, Sean, just wanted to give you a little bit of a happy birthday
happy
message.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Many more. Isn't that what they do? Birthdays?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Nobody wishes you more birthdays, then you would die sooner.
No, they don't want you to have no more birthdays.
Yeah, no, they want you to have no more birthdays.
No, they want you to have more. A ton of them.
Ah, but the more birthdays you have, the closer you are to death.
But if no, because if you have more, it's further off. Each okay. one of them represents a year.
All right. But you, then you're just saying I want you to race closer and closer to your end.
Jordan, you're literally making no sense.
I'm sorry.
And that's fitting.
Okay.
Because neither does Alex.
Fair.
All right. Here's the bottom line.
Let's hear the bottom line.
Most of the first hour is spent with Alex talking disgustingly and grotesquely about child abuse. And
Great.
We're not going to listen to any of that.
Good.
And I have my reasons for it. And if anybody takes issue with that, I will say that we've covered some of that stuff in the past. It doesn't add anything to demonstrate these things over and over again. And I believe that the way that Alex carries himself has the potential to be re-traumatizing to people. And I don't want to be a part of bringing that to our audience. And I want no part of it. If you think that is an inappropriate decision on my part, I would encourage you to start your own Alex Jones podcast.
we've had, how many times has he been on the show saying that shit? Go back and listen to it. Yeah. He's saying the same shit.
It happens a lot.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah. And this was a particularly grotesque example of it. And I only have two clips that aren't actually about that, but are about like little things that he's saying on the side of those conversations
mm-hmm.
that are kind of stupid.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit interesting. The first one is about cannibalism.
There are a lot of currencies on the planet that the establishment operates under. There's cash. There's digital money. There's the derivatives. There's art. There's drugs. There's sex, there's information, and there is all sorts of weird decadent pleasures. I mean, a big one is eating dead bodies. A lot of establishment people really like to eat human flesh.
Sure.
And they get them from morgues and stuff with dead kids and people.
Naturally.
And that's something that's well known. And
I've seen Blade.
My dad told me all about this when I was a kid, then later I saw it come out in the news.
That's how I know this is nonsense.
Wow.
Yeah. Whenever you're Alex Jones and you're like, I'm a big, serious expert on the New World Order.
My dad told me people get eaten. My dad said one time that a doctor ate a person.
I would say that if you want to be taken seriously, don't say it that way. If you can prove these claims, you don't need to say my dad told me.
No, when I was little, I discovered that while you were sleeping, if you had lost a tooth, someone will break into your home and brutally rip it from beneath your pillow. Will they leave something behind? I don't know, but I read it in the news later on in life. It's been confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex Jones's dad's scary bedtime stories notwithstanding.
Every detail, with the more we learn about his dad.
Yeah.
The amount
that dude,
of
that's a fucked up
he
dude.
Fucked up Alex.
That's a
so
fucked up
bad.
Dude.
He's a fucked up dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other clip that Alex has here is he's whenever you like people get rich, they start to need more exciting things.
Mm-hmm.
The mundane pleasures of life sometimes.
Sure.
Are not what they, you know, they get sports cars and
yes.
Drive fast.
Yeah, it's an escalation problem. The moment you've achieved your dream, now you have to find something else to achieve.
Right. Yes. Alex discusses this a little bit. And I should tell you this is a family show.
That's the type of stuff going on where these people have all the money, all the power, and so they just do more and more degenerate stuff. I mean, it's very popular for establishment folks to just eat big bowls of fresh feces right out of a woman's rear end. And you know, I'm not trying to be gross here, folks. I just want you to know what we're up against and what we're dealing with.
Okay. All right, Alex. Okay. Sure. Fine. I don't know.
Okay. So what do you... here's what I saw.
Uh-huh.
I saw Nancy Pelosi sitting at a desk much like ours, right? Like you're fairly close to me. If you were to stand up, turn around, and just start shitting into a bowl, I could grab a spoon and just eat as you shit out of it. That's what I saw Nancy Pelosi doing. Is that what you...
I didn't have any mental image except for Alex, just like his brain trying to be like, what can I say that's gross?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, look, humans are not good eating from a nutritional standpoint. It doesn't make sense for people to eat humans.
No.
And there's also nutritional issues with eating feces. It's not...
I mean, both are great for just purely pleasurable things.
No, they're not.
You know, it's like, no. You know, sometimes I order Chinese food, and I know it's not maybe the most healthy decision, but it's about the pleasure of eating it, Dan. I imagine the same thing is true for... eating shit coming out of a woman.
That seems like a good way to get oral fecal transmitted
conditions.
Yeah,
for the pleasure of it.
Or, I mean, eating humans, there's a lot of conditions you can come down from with that. And the caloric...
wash them first.
Okay, fine. Anyway, this is all stupid. Alex gets around to the Steve interview.
Sure.
And he's sort of, easing into the introduction.
Coming to you live from the ATX, broadcasting worldwide. I'm not going to try to rehabilitate Dr. Steve Pachinik here on air in some people's eyes, but he did leave the CFR and say 9/11 was an inside job and call the real perpetrators out that were actually involved orchestrating it. I'm not saying radical Islam doesn't exist. And he's done a lot of other good things. Wasn't for the Syrian war, supported Trump, trying to get troops out. But I thought he was buying into the whole Q 8chan deal.
Here is a problem for me. If you believe that he's an expert inside person, he should not be at all persuaded by Q stuff. If you have for a moment the inclination to think that Steve Pachinik is getting influenced by stuff on a message board, you should very seriously question whether or not you should take anything he's saying seriously.
He is supposed to be behind the scenes, which would be behind the psyop that you have argued Q must be.
Mm-hmm.
So how could someone behind the scenes, unless you're saying that that he behind the scenes was tricked by the other behind the scenes people through Q.
Oh, no.
In which case, what are you doing letting him behind the scenes if he's going to get tricked by other people behind the scenes? You stay behind the scenes, man.
This psyop that I've started is too good. It's tricked even
yes,
me.
Yes, exactly. Ugh.
Yeesh.
Get the fuck out of here.
So Alex is gracious, and he thanks Steve for coming back. And my note on this is just like, why are they doing
this?
Why? Yeah, why?
And so I appreciate Steve Pachinik coming on and having the courage after he was on. Well, let's punch that up. Is this Steve Pachinik's last interview? Because I'll give you the date. I forget the date.
Why? I don't understand. This doesn't serve anyone's interests. Steve is going to have to go even further out on a limb in order to retain any sense of credibility at all. Alex is going to have to either confront somebody who he clearly doesn't have the fortitude to confront,
mm-mm,
or he's going to have to get persuaded by Steve to wait and see.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yep.
This is a no-win situation for anybody.
No.
Except for Steve, because he's got nothing to lose.
Right.
Ugh.
Alex's insistence on not preparing coming through immediately with the I don't even remember what date it was.
Yeah, when was that shit?
Promised me that the world would be. Oh my god.
Yeah. So I think Steve sucks, and I think he's a real liar and a menace.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do think that the first question that Alex asks is unfair.
Okay.
I do think this is
even,
not the way.
Even there. Okay.
I do think this is not how you want to start an interview.
So, Steve Pachinik, tell us, was it all a big joke? Are you in with the Q guys? Were you part of the setup? Or were you really believing this was going to happen? We really appreciate you coming on.
Number one, I enjoy coming on the show. Number two,
fuck
what
you.
I do resent is the ad hominem comments coming from your disgusting viewers who think that I lied or in some way gave them false promises.
Tables turned on you in a second, Alex. Go fuck yourself.
You don't get to do this. You do not.
Alex tries to frame the interview with three options for Steve to pick that are all bad.
Yep.
Steve says, I like coming on your show. What I'd like to say is that your disgusting audience is a bunch of assholes who keep saying bad things about me.
wild. So pathetic.
Yeah, Steve takes control.
Alex has no shot. Mm. Just none.
You can see it even immediately. Yeah. Just like, no, you're it's not even in over your head. It's just you're just
yeah, you don't have the werewolf all. Here's what you do whenever somebody does that. One, that is a shitty opening question, but also well deserved. Fuck you, Steve. Well, and if Steve comes back with "I don't appreciate," you say, "Hey, fuck you, Steve. You fucking lied."
I would suggest that a better question is not like three possibilities that are all things he can't possibly accept.
Right, of course.
A more open-ended question that is leading to the, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Yes.
That would be a better opening question.
If you are wise, you will allow Steve to hang himself.
Right. If you are someone who maybe prepares, you'd have a question that guides you towards where you want to go, as opposed to one that your person you're talking to can completely reject because it's a trap.
Yeah.
He just ignores it.
No, I mean, of all the like so simple judo principles to be put in to be demonstrated right here, Alex attacks with overwhelming force and Steve just gets out of the way.
Yeah. And then
it's not hard.
And then once Alex's force has gone past him, he turns around and attacks them from the back.
I came on the show again to basically say to you, I will double down on the military coup. And the reason I'm doubling down is that right now it's taking more time and I don't directly deal with military operatives as I had in the past when I went overseas.
You lying piece of shit.
I still have faith in my cyber command. I have faith in my special forces. I have faith in the generals.
You don't have special forces teams.
Oh, I was right. I was right. He did double down.
Yeah.
That is what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's maybe not the...
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Because, I wanted a bigger swing.
Yeah, it's not as big a swing as you'd hope, but it is cool. I mean, like, in terms of, like, now what are you going to do, Alex?
Yeah, yeah.
Steve was wrong. He came back, and now he's telling you he was right.
Yep. You almost could have predicted this coming, seeing as how he has had no interest in whether or not reality conforms to his bullshit anyways.
Yeah, Steve is absolutely gaslighting the shit out of you.
Why would you imagine that he would become contrite and be like, oh, I'm sorry for lying to you? Also, you're not even getting to the underlying emotional problem, which is that he told you he has been using you.
Yeah, yeah.
To your face!
They don't get into that, surprisingly.
Unsurprising.
Yeah. So everything is going according to Trump's plan, apparently. And only one person in the media really understands and gets this subtle thing that's going on, and that is that Trump is being quiet. And maybe that's because he's got an impeachment trial coming up,
sure,
and he's been kicked off all social media.
Could be.
But one person gets it.
Okay.
And this should piss off Alex, but I think he's distracted.
So what I'm saying to you right now is, what you're seeing happening is exactly what Trump wanted to happen. He's exposing. Now, you got to remember one thing I've said about Trump. He never fails at what he does. And by the way, he has remained silent. Only one individual picked that up repeatedly, and that's Bill Maher of HBO. He hit it right on the head. Why is Trump silent when in his history he has never been silent?
Don't you fucking tell me that Bill Maher is insightful. Alex's big enemy.
It's just, you know who they watch all the time by how much they reference how much they hate them.
Yeah.
And then every time, because you watch Bill Maher all the time so you can hate him, eventually he says something where you're like, you know what, this Bill Maher guy might be right. Because you guys are fucking children.
And
you're toddlers. You can't, it's just 2 seconds of like, oh, I hate him. Ah, I love him.
I'm not going to say that this person doesn't exist, but I don't know anyone I like who likes Bill Maher.
Ooh, I don't know anyone I like who likes Bill Maher either.
That person may exist,
yeah,
and I just don't know it, and I wouldn't judge them for it. But the only people I have any evidence watch Bill Maher are people tweeting stuff.
Yeah.
And Alex and his guests.
Yeah, that does
all
sound
of
right.
Them watch Bill Maher.
Is Bill Maher just, maybe that's why he's going so far with the racist right nonsense, is just he's like, oh, I guess the only people who watch my show are right wing Nazis.
He's Dennis Millering.
He might be Dennis Millering
oh, no.
In front of our eyes. God damn it.
Oh boy.
Shit.
Equally unfunny. So Trump, his whole plan, right, is to let Biden show his ass. He's going to show how incompetent he is. And this is where Steve begins to drift into possible anti-Semitism.
Bay.
He's showing you how corrupt and stupid Biden is. I said to you before, for years, Biden will pick those people who are incompetent and corrupt, and primarily they were Jewish. I have a synagogue going on there with Blanken, with all kinds of people. I've got 11 Jews in there, all of whom I've never met before, some of whom I have a lot of things in common, but they're all incompetent.
Oh, boy. It seems to really be hammering on the point that people are
Wow.
Jewish.
Wow. Wow, it is you. I wouldn't have even thought of that as something to bring up unless I were, say, a Nazi.
Mm. It's so weird the way he speaks, too, just that, like, I've got these people in the government, like,
I think he just designs trading card decks. I genuinely think that he just draws like Magic the Gathering cards, and they have like Nancy Pelosi and Deep State Operative written on them, and he just tosses them out like a tarot deck.
I begin to wonder if he's not like severely disturbed. Like, we talk about him, and I think that one of the reasons that he may not come off as that is because he's in the InfoWars sphere.
Sure, sure.
And Alex portrays him as, like, this really serious character, and it's really funny when he snips at Alex.
Sure.
But there is a part of me that, you know, it has to wrestle with, like, does he actually think that he's running, like, special operations teams? Does he think that, like, he has sway within the government, and he's got these 11 Jewish people who he's never met working in various offices, and that's a problem for him personally?
I don't know. His wife laughing in the background of that clip makes me really think that he's aware.
She laughs about some other stuff, too. She's, yeah.
Maybe she's on the same boat. She's in the front seat of whatever boat's...
She's not so thrilled with Jewish people either.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And we have one moron from the National Security Council and the State Department, which is run by Blanken and Wendy Sherman. I got a Jew on top there who's never been in the military.
What?
And I have
whole hour here. We got like 45 minutes left, but I got to unpack all this.
I think Alex cut him off there because he realized, like, this is going too much.
Hey, man.
This is too much.
No.
You can't keep doing this.
We don't. Yeah, don't say I got a Jew on top ever. Yeah. Ever.
Outrageous.
What?
Outrageous.
Yeah.
So in this this next clip, they get to the heart of the matter, which I think that you're actually more correct, that the heart of the matter is that Steve revealed that he's been manipulating Alex.
Yeah.
Failing getting into that because they don't. The issue is that he said that Trump still going to be president after January 20th.
Sure.
They get a little bit snippy. Alex gets snippy with Steve about
this.
Let's just go back. Let's just go with your scenario. They are doing this anti-racism stand down.
It's not anti-racism.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Because they are trying to purge the military right now. No. They're saying they think there's a military coup. You're saying there's a military coup. What's going on there?
I just said it to you. Listen, Alex. Listen. I'm telling you.
Listen, Trump's going to get inaugurated on the 20th. I'm saying let's unpack that first. What went wrong? What happened?
I didn't say he was going to get inaugurated on the 20th. I never said that. I said that he would still be president of the United States. What's going on in Mar-a-Lago? You tell me.
Oh, boy.
Fucking psycho.
Oh, no.
You're not going to win. Hang up. Hang up right there.
Steve thinks Trump is still president.
Of course he does. What's going on in Mar-a-Lago,
Dan? The office of the former president, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what's going on in Mar-a-Lago.
Former's in the name.
You got to just get out of here. Just hang up right then and there and be like, this guy is out.
Yeah. If I were Alex, I'd be like, no.
Nah.
Can't let you have that.
You don't get to be angry at me right now, sir. Mm-hmm. You don't get to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't understand what's happening here. Okay?
Yeah, so Alex, I guess... he just has to put up with Steve saying, like, I didn't say he was going to get inaugurated. I say he'd still be president.
Minor
and I believe
semantics.
That he still is.
God wow. damn.
So Alex tries to be a dick and tries to reclaim some sort of, like, I don't know, authority in the conversation.
Sure.
It doesn't really work. And then we find out that Steve also hates Mormons, which we already knew that.
Well, then talk to us because you're so smart. Like you said, we haven't been in the military like you. But like, it's a magical level when you get there. Tell us then what's going on in your view.
I'm just telling you right now, I said it's part of Sun Tzu. You understand, Alex, what Sun Tzu is. You allow the enemy to expose all of the faults that they have without intervening. And he's showing it to you. The Republican Party, dead. McConnell, a total wastrel, a corrupt individual. Mitt Romney, corrupt Mormon. He reminds me of the days of the massacre of Meadows that the Mormons did when they slaughtered Christians. He was warned, and the Mormons were warned to take care of him, and they didn't do it.
What?
Okay. All right.
He warned the
Mormons. Who warned the Mormons?
It's got to be Steve.
He warned
Steve
the Mormons.
Steve must have.
Listen, I warned the Mormons. Take care of that Mitt Romney. Come get your boy. Come get your boy. You don't want any more massacres on your hands.
Holy shit.
Wild.
Also, interesting to recall that Steve also said that the Pope got arrested like a year ago.
Yeah, but that one was true.
So at the beginning of this interview, the first way that Steve claimed authority was to say, like, hey, your audience has been throwing ad hominems around. You're disgusting audience.
Yeah, you're a liar, Steve. Mm.
A little bit later, Alex realizes that he'd called the audience disgusting.
There you go.
Was that a Freudian slip? You're disgusting audience? Or you mean some people that said disgusting things about you? Because most of the audience doesn't hate you.
Unfortunately.
Honestly, I don't even read most of the comments. Let me be very frank. I'm not interested in what your audience says or doesn't say. I don't really listen to
it. Well, you said it. You said it.
Listen to me, Alex. You want me on the show? Cool it.
Cool it. You're in the military.
Nothing to do with Q. I don't even know who Q is. I don't read that nonsense. I have nothing to do with Q or anybody else. Other than you, you're the only show I go on.
This is outrageous.
Oh, man.
Don't do this interview. Boy. This is so dumb.
Oh, God.
There's no point to this except for Steve to just be mean and see what he can get away with.
No, the only reason you would do this interview if you're Alex is so you can throw away your baggage on Steve.
Well, you'd do that or you'd recognize that, like, and he does bring up repeatedly that their last interview got a lot of traffic. And the one where Steve was on with Owen saying that the election was a sting operation.
Sure.
That got a lot of traffic. And so I think that Alex has that motivation, like an attention economy type motivation.
Because, of course, he does.
Yeah. And so Alex will take like a little bit of this if it means a couple hundred thousand views more.
That's true.
In theory.
Yeah, but I would imagine you would get a lot of video, a lot of views if you forced Steve to hang up on you.
True.
Ooh.
Or if you just like were like, Steve, you're making everything up.
Steve, you're a fucking liar. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Steve, have you always been a psychopathic liar?
No, back to the center. You're a liar.
Yeah, Steve, hold on. No. I understand. I will listen to you, but only on the answer to the question, why are you such a fucking liar, Steve?
Oh, Steve, you don't give a shit about what my audience thinks? Great. Why are you such a liar?
Why are you such a fucking liar?
Stay on point.
Yeah, get in there.
And because Alex can't do that, Steve's just running circles around him.
You specifically, let's just get this straight, because people understand if you were wrong about timing or whatever, you legitimately thought Trump would end up being sworn in on the 20th. You said he's going to be the president.
I didn't say he would be on the 20th. He will be. He is still the president of the United States, and he will continue to be the president.
Okay.
Well, I know he won the election, and it's important not to recognize Biden. So tell me this. What is your view on what's going to unfold? How long will it take?
See, Alex is just he's supplicating there.
What are we doing?
He's trying to find ways in which you can accept the things that Steve is saying.
Yeah.
Steve's saying that Trump is still the president. And he's like, well, yeah, the election was stolen. He's trying to make excuses for Steve.
Totally.
Which is wild, because this is supposed to be like Alex's, you were wrong, dance.
How does he do this?
I don't know.
How is this possible? It's just, I've seen it too many times. How can one man never learn? Like, is he physically incapable of the act of learning?
It makes you wonder if Steve's not, like, independently wealthy and, like, paying Alex or something.
Something, yeah.
I don't know. Like, there's some dynamic here that just doesn't make sense.
No.
And like, it's really easy if you just see a couple examples of it to be like, Alex is dumb and gullible.
Yeah.
And maybe that is what it is, but it's such an extreme level of, like, you could just get burned by this dude over and over again.
Yeah, no, this is fealty on like Sith Lord levels of like, you know, he's trying to kill you all the time, right? What are we doing here, man?
So you're seeing right now the exposure of the Biden corrupt, incompetent government.
Sure.
What you're seeing now is the exposure of a corrupt, incompetent regime of Biden and all his people. And what it really is, it's not only an indictment of Biden, forget that. It's an indictment of Obama and Brennan. This goes to the heart of the matter. Obama, as I told you, was a gay, flaming homosexual nobody who came, was the CIA operative, and Brennan was his control officer.
All right, all right.
Okay, so instead of excoriating Steve for being a psychopathic liar, he is instead allowing Steve to be a raging bigot.
Yeah. Yeah,
with
yeah.
no pushback whatsoever.
Well, I don't think Alex sees a problem with any of that.
Well, that I do. I do understand that. Yes, yeah. I agree.
Although this next clip does get into territory where Alex has a problem, and that is Steve is like,
I love Brian Stelter.
No. And just your narratives aren't real. Like, Alex, the two of them are arguing about whether or not the election was stolen.
Great.
Am I getting through to you how incompetent and what we have to show?
Yeah, they're so incompetent they stole the election and took over.
They stole what election?
They stole the election and took over. They're so incompetent.
Checkmate!
Let me ask you, how do you know they stole the election? Where are the numbers coming in?
Trump had double, triple, quadruple in battleground states before they shut down the election that night and stole it.
And you say that it's a fait accompli, right? You think that's over. And I'm saying...
No. Here's the deal. I never give up, but I'm also realistic about what I face.
And you think I am a wishful thinker. That's why I come on your show.
I talk to a lot of people in the government. Hold on, Steve. Seriously. Hey, listen. Hold on a minute. I talk to a lot of really smart people. They tell me the country's in deep, deep trouble, and we're in a globalist takeover right now. They're planning to set bombs off all over the country and start trying a civil war. So I'm really concerned for my family and everybody else right now.
Who's going to set bombs?
The Southern Poverty Law Center.
Southern Poverty Law Center?
Yeah, they ran Elohim City. They ran the attack on Oklahoma City. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on. I know them very well. They haven't said anything.
I know the SPLC.
Come on. The SPLC and I play golf on the weekends. What are you talking about?
Alex, you're saying that the SPLC did Oklahoma City and they're planning bombings. What are you talking about?
Also, Alex, the only people threatening to do bombs and all that stuff were on your show.
Or associates of thereof. So I think that's really funny because this is not threatening to Alex, except because Steve is seen as a credible voice because of Alex's actions.
Yes, indeed.
None of this would be a problem, except for that Alex can't discount him as a crazy person.
No, unfortunately, this petard is too high, so I will have to jump on top of it.
I know the SPLC. Alex, what election? The election's not done.
That's a solid swing. I like that response. So the election was stolen. What election? Ooh, now we've got a whole new wrinkle into our little lunacy.
So one of the main... devices by which Steve exerts his control over Alex is flattery, of course, and also patronizing him.
Yes.
He treats him like a little baby.
Right.
But a lot of the flattery is in service of that patronizing.
Indeed. It infantilizes him.
Yeah.
You're such
an insightful mind.
Yeah. It's interesting that we start with Alex being like, my dad told me this when I was younger, so I'm going to believe it until I die. Mm-hmm. And then we get Stevie P's coming in here doing it like, oh, you're a good boy. Now stop it. Don't you do that.
Cool.
But you're a good boy. You're a good boy.
Yeah. Alex knows that. Because in the middle of this interview, they start arguing about whether or not Steve is patronizing him, which is really sad. This is just sad.
And now here in Florida, we're not listening to either Fauci, who, by the way, was exposed. Isn't that interesting? Trump didn't have to say he was a total fraud because the New York Times and the Atlantic Monthly exposed the nonsense about wearing a mask. Now you don't wear one mask, you wear two masks. So take it easy, Alex. Listen to what's going on. Do not get upset. And
I'm nice to you, and I think you actually believe this stuff you're saying, and you're an interesting talk show host, and people like you on the show. So I like you as a person. But the patronizing, dude, I'm 47 years old. I've been around the block 100 times. I don't patronize you. I'm being serious about this.
What do you want me to say? I've said to you, Alex... I've said to you exactly what's happening. Am I patronizing you?
Yes.
Am I saying you're wrong?
Yes.
I just, this show is fucked up. Like, this is supposed to be a show where you talk about the politics and the deep workings of the New World Order.
Nope.
The first hour is grotesque discussions of imaginary child abuse fantasies that he has. Second hour is a psychodrama with an old man who's been manipulating him for years.
Yeah, we're watching a weird soap opera right now, and it's a little bit, I'm not sure what's going on here.
I think this second hour, Alex thought he was going to come in and be like, hey, Steve, you fucked up.
Yeah.
And Steve was going to be like, you know what? You get some right, you get some wrong. And
totally.
Then they could build the next thing. And instead, Steve's like, Trump is still president.
How do you not see
You're
this
wrong.
Coming?
Yeah.
How do you not see this coming?
And because Steve is a wall, he's not somebody that's going to move. And he doesn't give a fuck.
Why would he?
Yeah.
What exertion can you put upon Steve to make him move? Yeah. Oh, you can't come on my show anymore? Clearly I can.
Yeah, and Alex seems to have gotten to that realization, and he starts kind of trying to help Steve make his arguments more.
God, I hate him so much.
Because Steve is saying that Trump is still president at the Mar-a-Lago and what have you.
Sure.
And he's going to come back, which coincidentally is another Q narrative.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, he's like,
I don't know anything about Q. I don't read that stuff from this website, this website, this website, this website, this website, and this website that I don't read.
Suspiciously, most of the stuff I say has to do with things that are popular in Q communities.
Yeah,
but
it's wild.
It's a coincidence.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, for someone who is pretending to disagree with Steve, Alex is trying to help make that point that Trump's going to return.
Now they're obsessed with Trump. They're saying he's getting more popular, not less. That actually adds credibility to what Pechenik's saying. Pechenik, in my opinion, is walking back a little bit that hey, this big event's going to happen on the 20th. But I do agree. They stole the election. Trump is the president. But here he is last year, 7-8 months ago. I'm going from memory. Maybe you guys can find the date. Here he is at an appliance factory in the Midwest, saying, hey, I've stood up to Big Pharma. We're paying the highest prices. I've cut the prices, which he did by half. They're going to come after me. I'm going to be gone for a while. Here it is.
You have to produce a product, and it has to be a good product. But the middlemen, well, the rebate that I'm doing cuts out the middlemen, and it reduces costs, and the money goes back to the people purchasing the drugs. So I have a lot of enemies out there. This may be the last time you'll see me for a while. A lot of very, very rich enemies, but they are not happy with what I'm doing. But I figure we have one chance to do it, and no other president's going to do what I do. No other president would do a favored nations, a rebate, a buy from other nations at much less cost. Nobody. And there are a lot of unhappy people.
And then he said at the military base, before he got on the plane and flew to Mar-a-Lago, he said, I will be back. So that adds something there to what you're saying, Pechenik. I just want to put all our marbles on Trump.
Why are you doing
concerned.
This? Why are you doing this?
Hmm.
This is outrageous. There's no reason to do this. You're supposed to disagree with Steve, not go out of your way to find clips of Trump that seem to back up what Steve's saying.
I'm just jangle keys. Mm-hmm. Is that what we need to do? Have we just been jangling keys wrong? Has that been our problem? Is that why the right has been allowed to flourish? Is we haven't found the right color of keys to dangle outside of their vision so they can get distracted instantaneously?
It's pretty, I don't know, man.
This is why, this is fucking mm-hmm. out of, I, no! You don't let it get, people get it, they don't get away with it!
Mm-mm. So I have two clips here from Steve's interview. There's more, but these next two are just sort of like, I got lost in the incoherence and pointlessness of this interview.
Yeah.
But I still think that these two clips are interesting to listen to for the social dynamics between these two dudes.
But that my point is this, what he's letting you do is the biggest apprentice show he's ever done. He's putting America into project. He's literally showing you the American show, which is massive corruption. And the first president, we didn't have it with Bush Sr. He was corrupt. I worked with him. We didn't have it with Nixon. He was corrupt. Jimmy Carter, he was corrupt. Clinton's, they were corrupt.
Okay. Dr. Steve Pechenik's our guest. Let me just tell you what I've witnessed. Trump means well. He cares about the country. He's not out to get us. He was the president. That pissed him off. I was there when almost the whole White House was gone, and he had like 10 staffers that were loyal. And then the Secret Service stood down at the Capitol, and he literally pointed at me, and I led the people out. And I was like, my God, this is really happening. And then we got set up. So just the idea that Trump's got all this masterful stuff going on, this sounds like a reboot. I mean, I agree politically what you're saying is happening. This is destroying Biden, the Democrats, worse than ever, as they turn the economy off, as they launch all these wars. People are like, whoa, this is horrible. I get it at a Machiavelli level or a Sun Tzu level or a Napoleon level. They'll interrupt your enemy while they're destroying themselves. But, I mean, they're destroying us. They're coming after our guns. They are. I think they'll lose in the end, but they're just crazy. So I just don't. I mean, I know people that know Trump well. He's isolated at Mar-a-Lago right now.
And what the point is what?
That is my question, too. That's a good response, because that was incoherent. It was a whole bunch of different spaghetti strands being thrown up against the wall.
Yeah. I think he might as well have just said, I'm not going to bail you out on that one.
Nope. You're going to.
Next.
Or just stare.
Yeah.
Huh?
You are saying what now?
Mm-hmm. So they're talking about Trump being isolated there at the end, and this goes on to just bickering.
The point is, you're saying Trump is like, you know, Mr. Spacely and the Jetsons with all his hands on the levers.
Spacely,
from my information, he needs to be out in the public fighting. He needs to be exposing. He needs to go into that trial and annihilate them in the Senate and be thrown in that briar patch. Instead, he's totally cut off with a bunch of cowardly lawyers telling him to be afraid of a shadow.
How do you know he's totally cut off?
I mean, I've talked to the president. Some, I've talked to people that talk to him. I know the lawyers that are involved. I mean, I know that he's cut off.
And what is this next trial about? The second impeachment? What does that mean?
No, it's totally fake.
Are you understanding
John
words?
Roberts isn't involved. It's a sham. Now they're trying to back off of it. I think he should go into that briar patch and use that to expose him.
But he's already. When did you ever hear, besides what I have said, that John Roberts is one of the most corrupt Supreme Court justices we've ever had? He's been involved with Malta. He's been involved with all kinds of problems and his adoption of kids. When did you ever hear that other than from me? And now you're beginning to see how the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is so corrupt. And what may have happened to another Chief Justice? Was somebody killed, by the way? Was there a member of the Supreme Court who might have been killed? I don't know. Tell me.
What are you doing?
Wait, what is happening now? No! Steve, you're a fucking liar!
Yeah, I can't tell if he's going back to Scalia or if he's talking about like a current Supreme Court.
Are they?
Or
that's what I was
like. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, maybe?
Yeah. Did they kill somebody? Yeah. Just tell me who. Is a sitting Supreme Court justice dead and we're
playing this vague game. It's
are we
not
weekend
fun.
At Bernie-easing half the Supreme Court right
so
now?
So dumb.
Ugh.
So that kind of is indicative of how a lot of this interview goes. Like, there's just two delusional weirdos, but with slightly different delusions that neither is really willing to give up.
Yeah.
Although Alex's commitment is so much weaker than Steve's, and so you find him coming around.
My God's a wolf, so he'll kill your God. Nah, my God's an eagle, so he'll kill your God. No, a wolf has jumping powers and this and that. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're arguing about imaginary nonsense.
Now, there is one thing you might care about.
What's that?
And that is bets. They made a bet.
Bets.
Yeah.
Okay.
They made a bet, and that is that if Steve was correct, he would get a job at InfoWars.
Correct.
If Steve was not correct, he could never come back on again.
So the bet is now meaningless.
Well, here's an interesting question.
Are we double or nothinging?
There's no arbiter of who is right or who is wrong.
I thought reality was.
Well, Steve insists that Trump is still president.
That's fair.
So what happens then?
That's a good question.
Steve thinks he's won this bet.
That is a fascinating conundrum we have found ourselves in.
Yes. And so Alex suggests a middle ground that I don't think anyone is going to go for.
People like it when you come on the show. So even though you didn't win the bet, you did come back on the show. So I appreciate that. We're going to go to break.
Hear me. And what if I'm right? Will you eventually hire me then?
Only if you co-host a show with David Knight. All right, we're going to go to break. We're going to come right back on the other side. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, that would be a hot show, actually. Those two together, like they have little canes and beat each other in the heads with them. Okay, folks, we're going to go to break. Little people hitting each other. I'm not saying they're little people. That's a quote from Time Bandits. It's a pretty funny movie.
Whoa.
Wow.
Listen, I got to pay some bills or we won't be here.
Yes, I will. I don't know. I don't know if I could stop myself from at least tuning in to see what David Knight and Stevie P's show would be like.
I don't know these people personally, but I find it very difficult to imagine that David would ever agree to that.
Ooh, I would love it, though.
I don't know.
The dynamic between them, Steve is a loud, boorish nonsense peddler, and David Knight is a quiet, stated moron.
But that's why I think great. David wouldn't do it.
Well, yeah, obviously. I don't know. He's been out of work for a while. When you've been out of work for a while, sometimes you're like, I'll take
He's boring as hell, and we're not into him. But that doesn't mean that there isn't an audience that came along with him. He's doing his own show on something. Maybe BitChute. I don't fucking know. But I bet he's making something off that.
Okay.
Who knows?
I don't know.
And I bet that Alex gave him some money.
Yeah, I would believe that. I would absolutely believe
there is almost certainly some shut up money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I do like the idea of Alex suggesting that he can have a show if he co-hosts with David Knight, because that is a fuck you to David Knight.
A huge fuck you to David Knight.
And that's the only thing it is, because it's not a serious suggestion.
Doesn't bother Steve.
No. It is a way of him saying, I'm not going to hire you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. That's true. But everybody knew that he wasn't going to get hired anyways, and Stevie P's wouldn't want a job even if it was offered.
It's one of the, I think Steve would. I think it's actually, I mean, Steve saying, are you still you going to hire me?
Uh-huh.
I think that that's one of the few moments of weakness that you kind of see from Steve, that he's actually... So he seems interested in that, which is weird.
Wow, so he really does think he's right.
Well, yeah.
Or at least he thinks he can gaslight Alex into a job.
Imagine how gullible the employees at InfoWars are if you can trick Alex this easily.
Like, wild.
Yeah. I would say, you know, Steve needs someone to help him turn on the Skype and stuff.
Sure.
So... if I were him, yeah, maybe you would want to get a job at InfoWars. Mm. They're producers there.
That's true.
I don't know.
That's true.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Steve is a man of many talents. Getting Aldo Moro killed is
That's
one
true.
Of them.
Yeah.
Lying to
that
Alex.
That wasn't really a talent.
He was really good at it.
Well, that's more of a proficiency, I suppose.
But it turns out he has another skill that Alex brings up, and that is poetry reading.
Okay.
And look, he actually goes to coffee shops and reads poetry in his off time. So this guy doesn't just co-author books with Tom Clancy or help found Delta Force. He's reading poetry. And everybody gets really excited when he talks about who it's dedicated to. This is called Impending Chaos by Steve Pachenik. Here's the end of it.
Long forgotten, it abounding with infinite vitality to eliminate and disintegrate matter into electronic pulses, penetrating the invisible and the dead. Silence becomes room for those who go not die or disappear. Gloria in excelsis, Theopolis. Lucifer will bear the morning star forever and ever. Amen.
Lucifer, amen. What is this? So, it's like, oh, false narratives, but someday they'll come true. Like H.P. Lovecraft, like, someday even death may die. So, is this a love letter to Lucifer, Steve Pachenik? Are you secretly got a little heart for the devil?
No, I have the heart for neither the devil nor the angels. What I have a heart for is simply, and why I go on your show, you're the only show I ever go on, is number one, your incredible intelligence. Number two, your incredible sense of humor.
Let me translate that for you. My religion is fucking with you.
That's the only thing that gets me out of bed in the morning.
I don't care about the devil. I don't care about the angels.
With your brain.
But I am going to manipulate the shit out of you.
It's just what I got to do.
Yeah.
This is a new poem. A rat done bit my sister Nell.
I think Steve's a weird dude.
Yeah.
The idea that he's doing poetry readings is interesting.
Makes perfect sense to me.
I mean, on some level, yeah. It's nice that he has hobbies that are harmless. I don't understand why Alex would respond to a poem that ends with a amen to Lucifer as if it's just a joke when he takes this very, very seriously when anybody else brings up the devil or doesn't bring up the devil.
Yeah, especially when they don't bring up the devil, I would argue.
Now, here's what's interesting.
What's that?
After this,
mm-hmm.
I can't tell if this is a joke
okay.
or not.
All right.
But Steve literally refers to himself as a son of Lucifer.
Okay.
Now, as Lucifer and the son of Lucifer, I basically look at cold fact. When 9/11 occurred, I was ostracized. Within minutes, I was deprecated, ostracized, and Bob Gates of the Secretary of Defense and the former DCI, whom I couldn't admire at all, I thought he was disgusting and stupid because he couldn't get in the RAND Corporation, basically warned me not to do a coup.
I almost guarantee that right after 9/11, Steve was not a high priority.
No.
I don't think. People are like, oh no, Steve's going to run a coup.
No, it was between the first and the second. They were like, real quick, we got to make sure Steve is out of step.
Check on Pachenik.
Get him in the box.
Yeah.
Steve has been waiting to do a coup for no reason.
Yeah.
Now we got something. Get him.
I think he might have been joking, but I was blown away that Alex doesn't like, why'd you refer to yourself as a son of Lucifer? Should we be talking?
Dan, we are all technically the sons of Lucifer. Mm. Lucifer, of course, the light bringer, and Michael, the demiurge.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them together, without which none of creation would happen.
I find it weird.
Okay, also, well, that's also fair.
I also find it weird that this interview kind of ends with Alex and Steve being buddies, and they're just sort of shitting on David Knight.
I hate them both.
Thanks.
Would you host a Daily Show with David Knight? I'll bring him back if you host it with him.
I have no hard feelings to David Knight.
I love David.
My point, it's not an issue of David Knight or you or me.
No, I'm saying, would you host a show with David Knight?
All I'm saying is I want to come back on your show and say to you, okay, where is my position?
I agree. How about a debate between you and David Knight? That'd be great.
Oh, not yet.
By the way, David, this is an attack. I hope David does well. David's got his own show he's doing right now. I'm so mad about what I covered. I finally just said, dude, you got to go. But
wait, I thought you said it was a budget thing. Huh, that's weird. If I were David Knight, I would take this as an attack, too, because it is.
David's going to take this as an attack, but it's not because I love him very much, and I definitely haven't been attacking him this entire time. No, that would be weird.
He seems to be also sort of thinking of David Knight as a thing. You know, like, I'll bring him back. Like,
yeah.
No, I don't think
he's
would
human.
Come back.
No, he's a human being, sir.
I will make him dance with you.
Wild.
Yeah.
I cannot. I would be so... so furious. Like, that wouldn't even insult me. If I was David Knight, that wouldn't insult me.
Yeah.
That Steve is back would insult me more than anything I could imagine.
I think if I were David, I'd probably be considering speaking to a lawyer to break my NDA.
Totally, totally.
Like, I would just be like, all right, well, now it's time to talk about everything I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You fired me because this guy lied, and then you called him on it, and then you brought him back, and now you're buddies again? No. Fuck you.
Well,
I'm out.
I think the problem is that, you know, Steve's a good guy.
All right. Well, I think you meant what you said, and I don't think you did it out of meanness or badness, and that's what my gut tells me. So, stevepachenik.com. Hey, come back on next week. We're challenging David Knight to come in studio, and we will. Okay. All right. Hey, stevepachenik.com. Thank you so much. We got another guest coming up. I appreciate you spending time with us. All right. We'll be right back. Well, that was a powerful interview, ladies and gentlemen, and definitely something is going on. I don't know what it is, but it's crazy. The office of the former president.
Yeah, something is going on.
I don't know. I don't know what needs to happen other than like a permanent dunk tank for these two idiots.
It's
no place that they can be allowed in polite society without being a cancer upon the rest of us other than in a permanent dunk tank where I can throw apples at a target.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I hear you. I don't get it.
Nah.
I can't imagine. Like, I've listened to this show so much for so long, and legitimately, there's just a reality that is being denied by Steve, and I would have thought that Alex would stand up for basic tenets of reality.
Just anything. Anything.
I can't believe this interview went how it did.
No, I'm
It's outrageous.
No, I'm furious.
Yeah.
I'm furious.
I didn't know what to expect when I heard, like, Steve's coming in. He's got to face the music.
I wasn't expecting this.
No.
I was not expecting. I am shaking with rage on, I guess, Alex's behalf.
Alex can't decide whether or not he wants to, like, say Steve is wrong and push back against his shit, or like play clips of Trump saying I'm going to be gone for a while to try and help Steve make his arguments. He's trying to play both sides of this fence, and you can't.
Nope.
It makes no sense to.
Because one of them is, well, actually, both of them are imagined. Fuck it. Who cares? So, do whatever you want, but you're a monster and an idiot.
I thought that there would be a point where Alex would just have to be like, Steve, we've gone too far.
Yeah.
I wish you the best. Have fun in Florida. I'm not talking to you
totally.
Anymore. And no, it turns out there's not.
Nope, we're buddies now.
Yeah.
It really
makes me wonder, like, what happened after the Las Vegas shooting that made Alex stop talking to him for a good, like, 6-8 months.
Better legal advice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he had more to protect then, or maybe David Knight was more of an influence then.
Could be. I'm
the judgment skills are outrageously bad.
I really am a little bit speechless at this.
Yeah.
This is the...
Well, get ready to be speechful, because Alex has another guest.
Oh, no.
In the third hour.
Okay.
And he's a boog boy.
Oh, God.
Alex is in love with the Boogaloo Boys.
I can't hang.
He has Magnus Panvidia back on.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Magnus offered to get this Antifa person.
Yeah.
For Alex to interview.
Sure.
And so this is the coming to fruition of that.
Uh-huh.
And it's not really that interesting outside of saying that, like, Alex is clearly down now
with the
Boogaloo Boys.
Yeah.
Magnus is still full of shit.
Yeah. So just having people talking to each other and more groups kind of reaching out. And then the establishment has kind of picked up wind of this. And a lot of progressive and liberal YouTube channels that have been talking about, hey, maybe unity. Hey, maybe we should work together with ex-Trump supporters. They've started to get demonetized or have their Facebook pages talked out. Well, taken down. Which is like, oh, that's really convenient that, you know, like not, they're saying the same thing they've been saying all last year. But the moment they start to be like, hey, maybe we should work with Trump supporters, maybe we should reach out to the right, they get their, you know, you
because they
taken
want
down,
because they want a civil war.
Down.
You guys want revolution and a change. You don't want a civil war, right?
Yeah, and that's what they want. And that's what I've been saying from the very beginning.
Wow. Okay. What is the Boogaloo mean then?
Yeah.
Like just like, oh yeah, you don't want a civil war. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting, because why are you wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah.
It's a big luau, right?
No, don't tell me.
Why does your flag have a big igloo on it? Oh, big igloo, boogaloo. Oh, it's all electric boogaloo, part two, Civil War II. Come on, dude.
These people need to
stop fucking around. Stop pretending.
Rooted out. Unreal.
Well, I just think they need to be honest. And that's one of the reasons why these interviews are so weird, is because there's deceptiveness. But it's clearly... like deceptiveness for the target audience.
Yeah.
Like this is deceptiveness that's tailored to Alex's audience.
Yeah. This is more infomercial. This is not an interview. This isn't a fucking news show. This is an infomercial for why you should be cool with the Boogaloo Boys.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's what it
is. And one of the things you might be afraid of is that they want a civil war. He's just said they don't. Great. Now, he doesn't want a civil war, but what he does want is a war against the government.
The opponent, everyone we've always talked about, is the federal government. There's never a meme made or a post made about going out and fighting Democrats or going out and attacking Trump supporters. None of our information, none of our messaging has ever been about that. Everything we've always talked about is the government, and particularly the federal government. That's always been the opponent. So it's never been a civil war. And we've already, most of us have stated that if there was some Republican versus Democrat kind of civil warfare, most of us wouldn't participate. We would go out into our cabins and into the woods and, you know, just try to stay out of it.
Go fuck yourself. But also,
wow,
this is so disingenuous because he's pretending that he has this idea of this war against the federal government as if the majority of the country wouldn't side with the government over him. Like, that's the part that is the real imaginary world bullshit that he's trying to pull off. It's like, no, yeah, we don't want to hurt anybody. Like, what about everybody who thinks that the government shouldn't be overthrown by force?
Oh, well, I mean, I've never
seen
them.
You will end up having to hurt them if this war...
No, I've never met any of those people. Okay. I've been on the internet.
Sure.
Everybody hates the federal government.
Oh, yeah.
So what'll happen is all of the people in the United States... Now, obviously, I assume that the people who are paid for by who are paid by the federal government, you know, there's what, 3, 4, 5 million people?
There's a lot of people that would probably... Join the Boogaloo Boys against the federal government.
Wow.
Delusional. And it's, I mean, look, yeah, obviously there's a lot of dissatisfaction with the government. There's a lot of people who want structural fundamental changes. That is not the same as people who would say, like, yeah, I'll take up arms with you against the federal government. No, fuck that.
No.
This is outrageous.
It's unacceptable.
Well, but it's the disingenuous framing of what the agenda and the goals are.
Yeah.
It's so outrageous.
Yep.
And one of the things that is seems to be the real thrust of these PR campaigns that Magnus is doing is that he wants to be a living example and this embodiment of how the media lies about all these groups. And maybe you're getting a different version of those groups than actually exists.
Yeah, it's picking up steam, and particularly, like, people are starting to look into things and starting to question whether, you know, they had false beliefs on all of these different movements, or even if they didn't have false beliefs, that their feelings on them were exaggerated or focused by the media to an extreme to get them to the point where they dehumanize half the population. And that happens on both sides.
It's total radicalization.
Absolutely.
He's talking to a guy who says that all the Democrats work for Satan.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to. I don't know how to listen to this, Dan.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know how to listen to people judge. How dare the others?
These people are both full of shit to each other.
Yeah.
Like they're both not acting at all. With any kind of decorum.
No, this hurts my brain.
It does.
This hurts my brain. It's hard to navigate reality in the internet era.
Hmm.
It's very, very difficult. Listening to these two assholes talk, knowing in the back of my mind that no matter what these guys are saying, they are dreaming of watching me bleed to death.
Yeah.
That is what they both desire, watching me personally bleed to death.
Well, that's because your blood coming out is not really a pain to you. It's really more of a demon leaving your body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. I'm gonna go with the more that this guy talks, the more I just like that. Oh, no. The people are hearing that the media lies they've been telling about this. All you're saying is, one, your bullshit is working, and two, you are doing this in service of watching me bleed to death, so fuck you.
So Magnus gets to continuing this point, and some people act like their opposition is actually literally evil, like the person he's talking to right now.
You have people that literally view like everyone in the opposing party as like some evil destructive force that has to be physically removed. And the fact that people don't get to that naturally. You don't hate your neighbor like that as just a regular human being. It's totally manufactured. It's totally pushed by the media to get people to that point.
What do you think is going to happen to Biden post-Trump?
Yeah, Alex has to pivot and change the subject because he's talking about exactly what Alex does. You know, he's saying like, oh, this isn't real. It's not organic. It's manufactured by the media. The media that you're talking to.
Yeah, me. I'm saying that we should kill all the Democrats. I've said that before. I've said that they are all in service of the literal Christian devil.
Yeah.
Are you saying that the other side dehumanizes their opponents? Because if they do,
I
want to sue them for intellectual property.
It's outrageous. They're just using each other. And the end result is just...
No, I just... Ugh.
So the media has a vested interest in making, the people who are a threat to the media and their enemies. They want these groups to look scarier than they are, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to remind you before we listen to this clip that Alex spent most of the first hour of the show talking grotesquely about how his imaginary enemies abuse and kill and eat children in ways that were so graphic and exploitative that I refuse to play them on our show.
Yeah.
I'm not defending white supremacists. I've actually been around some of them. The average one, though, thinks they're
home,
a victim and thinks everybody's out to get them.
Up,
and actually is not what the media even says. I'm not defending them. But I've talked to them. They actually believe something totally different as well. So it seems like what we're hearing about each group is not actually what's going on.
No, yeah, because they intentionally want everyone to look scarier and more dangerous and more evil than they actually are. They don't want, Like, because before, if you go back, it's very much kind of like To Kill a Mockingbird and, you know, the whole thing with Boo Radley of they just want to take someone who might be a little weird or might be wrong, and they want to make them look like a demon. They wanted to make them look like a devil.
No, I agree. So wouldn't the answer to ending, wouldn't we get Boogaloos, militias, the KKK, and Black Lives Matter all at a barbecue, and I would guess at the end of it, most people would be friends. You'd have still people trying to start a fight.
I would guess that they would not necessarily be friends.
Yeah. I think we just proved karma isn't real.
Huh.
I don't think there's a God. I don't think there's any punishment or retribution or justice in the universe because those two guys are allowed to speak on air.
Well, there's a part of me that really sincerely wonders as I listen to this, if Magnus wasn't saying these things as a sort of pointed thing to Alex.
Yeah.
Like there was a part of me that wondered if he knew that this is what Alex does.
Yeah.
And was saying it for that purpose. It's weird because these two guests, Magnus and Steve, are both manipulating the shit out of Alex.
Oh, yeah.
And using techniques that Alex can't really respond to.
He doesn't have the wherewithal.
No. And it's interesting to see, like, the old generation and then the new generation just abusing Alex's...
Fuck over this dumb. Ugh.
Use him for all he's worth.
What an idiot.
So there is a Antifa member who's going by a pseudonym.
Sure.
Along with Magnus.
Anti-fascist.
And I don't care.
No.
I don't really care.
I agree. What... No, actually, I just listened to Boogaloo Boy lie to my face, even though I know in his heart he wants to see me bleed to death. So I really don't care what the person sitting next to him says either.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not particularly interested. I don't know who this person is. They're using a fake name. They're wearing a mask when they're talking.
Then it doesn't mean anything at all.
And the stuff that they're saying is like really not very controversial, and it doesn't start a fight. It's just like, yeah, we're against corporate world corporations. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's very mild, and Alex doesn't really like take issue with much. And, mm-hmm. I don't know. It was disappointing, much like the Steve interview. And so here's Alex's final suggestion.
I would love to see Antifa and the Proud Boys have a summit together. My God, it'd have 50 million views online if Big Tech let it out there. It'd actually just end all this stupidity.
This cuts to the heart of so much of Alex's politics being meaningless and empty. He would love to see a summit between the Proud Boys and Antifa because he thinks it would go viral.
How long? What month is it?
March, February.
February. What year is it?
2021. Blackjack.
I won that one.
No, you said it before I finished 2021.
That's true. You're right. Damn it. And how long ago did violent fascists try to overthrow the United States government?
It's a couple weeks.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the people on the right who are saying we should have summits are doing that more for their benefit than ours.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to go with that.
But even beyond that, Alex can only see this through the lens of like what would be attention grabbing.
Totally, totally.
Steve, let's get you to do a show with David Knight. Not because that would bring anything to the world, not because we would get any greater understanding or information out of that dynamic, but because you guys would fight and it would draw attention.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great. Everybody'd love it.
Mm-hmm. I saw this Boogaloo Boy guy get interviewed on Jimmy Dore's show. Mm. It got a lot of attention, so I reached out to him because I wanted some of that attention.
Right. See, personally, I have always thought that the best form of governance would happen in the WWE writers' room. So naturally, I assumed that...
No, that's a dictatorship.
No. See, what happens is the government should be a giant spectacle that never accomplishes anything and resets to new narratives every now and again.
But I don't think that's what the WWE writers' room is like. I think it's Vince McMahon hitting everyone over the head with a stick and saying no.
Oh, so that would be very similar to what it is that happened when the professional wrestling took over the government.
Somewhat,
yeah.
So we've come to the end, and I feel disappointed in everybody.
Yeah. I feel disappointed in life.
I'm disappointed in everyone but you and our audience.
Yeah.
And maybe a few select people in the world, but everybody that I'm looking at here, a random Antifa person, quote unquote,
yeah.
Magnus, Alex, Steve Pachanik. The only person I don't feel all that bad about is Steve Pachanik's wife. That's because I don't know anything about her, and all I do is hear her laugh when Alex says
something
shitty.
Yeah, she seems to be having
shitty.
A great time. Yeah. She seems to be enjoying the shit out of this.
I'm sure if I knew anything about her, I would have some issues.
She's just there for the company. You know, when you get older, it's you just like being around somebody.
Yeah.
You don't want to live alone.
Yeah. So I wanted more. but we, you know, you get what you get.
And I want an apology. I would like an apology. I feel like that's not unreasonable to ask.
I don't think it's unreasonable, but I don't think you're ever going to get it because we have entered like an even. It's not even disappointment. It's disorientation because I think on some level this represents a new level of not reality we're living in.
Yeah. No, this is beyond not reality. This is creating a not reality on top of the not reality that didn't happen.
There's a not reality to InfoWars and Alex Jones's narratives about the world. And it's one thing to kind of like see like, this is Alex trying to maintain that not reality. Now you have Steve introducing this secondary layer of non-reality on top of Alex's non-reality. And it's disorienting, and you would think that Alex would want to fight to maintain control of his non-reality, but he doesn't seem able to.
Nope.
It's weird.
Yeah, I think that's actually my new position. My new and major position, I will absolutely reach out across the aisle when I get an apology.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, I think that most people
Yeah,
would.
I would like a direct apology and from every individual.
Oh, well, that
and
might
then
be.
I will reach out across the aisle to that single individual.
That might
end.
Be tough. I don't think you're going to get that.
I would like one.
But you know what? The audience is going to get another episode next time.
Nice transition.
But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledgefight.com. Go to Ben Jordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. iTunes. If you could please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out those doing God's work. Right
yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark, I'm Daryl Rundis, I'm the guy who's in charge of telling Alex when his caller's up. I fucked up. I got fired.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.